Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What if the golf ball you're playing isn't the number one ball for you? Meet the all-new TP5 and TP5X from TaylorMade. Whether you prefer the softest five-layer tour ball in the TP5 or the fastest, that's now a half a club longer in TP5X, you'll be playing a golf ball that performs like it was built just for you. Available in white, yellow, and picks, you can personalize it with my symbol. No matter which you choose, every TP5, TP5X is designed to help your game. Head to TaylorMadeGolf.com today to find the number one ball for you.
For us, golf is simple. It's a chance to get out and have some fun with our friends. But inevitably, little things have a way of ruining it. The group ahead is taking forever, you can't find the fairway with a map, and the bev cart is nowhere to be found. And the best way to make a bad day better is Fireball Whiskey. You get their nips, the little shooters. They are great. Makes bad day way, way, way better. Make sure to grab the new Fireball Birdie Shot Club. It's literally a golf club filled with Fireball nips. Put it in your bag. It'll fit right in that side pocket. Drink Fireball nips and have a great time on the golf course.
Welcome back to another edition of Zero Block 30. Today, me and Cons are going to talk about some bullshit. We're going to talk about one, what some veterans do the worst. I found a couple articles. We're going to talk about it. Some of you guys just need to clean it up. We're going to talk about Tiger Woods. We're going to talk about a little bit of golf. We're going to talk about Cons' beloved West Point. We're going to get into everything today, and it's going to be a good time. But right now, I need to tell you people something. I don't know if you guys, for the people that follow Barstool and follow us regularly, I know you probably saw the different. Am I on my? Okay, I wanted to make sure I wasn't on my AirPods audio because that sounds like shit for the old listener. $20 million office that we built in Chicago. Kate moved out here. I moved out here. For one, have the ability to record together, but she was selfish and had a baby like right before. 3 days before we were supposed to move into the office. Outrageous, right, Cons?
It is, but you know what? Is that not just so perfectly on brand for her to just not plan at all?
Be late? Man. So we're in this $20 million office, and if you haven't seen it, go to Barstool Sports YouTube page and check it out. It's an incredible place. There's huge basketball court, like full size with our logo in the middle of it. A $150,000 golf simulator, which, by the way, I played yesterday. I have fucking tennis elbow. Look at the difference in color of my
own. Yeah. Like, what is that about?
Legit bruise from swinging hard yesterday.
Oh, wow. I can really see it. Yeah. No, I can see it.
Because Brandon Walker and me were going long drive after long drive trying to outdo each other. He finally got me. He got 326 and I only got 311. I'll take it for not golfing for like 2 years. But Cons, we're getting ready to record. We record every Tuesday, sometimes Monday, but it always comes out on Wednesday. We have all these state of the art. Look at me. I'm not getting recorded in 4K. There's not a single fucking producer in here. And I've been doing this. I've been trying to produce. I've been trying my fucking best to do my best on this show. I would just like a little bit, maybe come in here and press play. Look, we got that camera. We got cameras all over the place that are super nice, but I'm sitting here on my stupid ass laptop looking like I'm on Zoom once again, and I hate it. I got to figure it out. I'm going to talk to Hank, at least put somebody in here that can press play. I'll do the rest. Just press play. Do a mic check, and that's it. That's all I want. I don't feel like that's too much to ask. Been here 7.5 years.
Yeah, I was just going to say, given the longevity, you know, nearly 600 apps at this point, like, I think we've earned that you could just get somebody to press play. I think that's fair.
There's two podcasts that are longer running at Barstool Sports than us. KFC Radio and Pardon My Tick. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, those are some big podcasts, and we got other big ones.
They've done some things.
I'm not saying we're better than Spittin' Chiclets because I'm not a fool. I know that. Foreplay, BFFs. There's some big monster podcasts. ZBT is big for military, but we're not big compared to everybody else because it's a little niche product. But just let me put my fucking stuff behind me at least. Let me get an American flag or Colonel Nathan Jessup behind me something to give the people a little bit. Because now you just got my bald ass head. And by the way, I got the best razor that I've ever had.
I was going to say, it looks smooth. It looks smooth.
Look how smooth. And that's 3 days. I haven't shaved it in 3 days.
Wow.
I feel like this new razor that I got, no free ads. I can't tell you. If you DM Cons, I'll let him know. And then he could tell you, or you could email him at cons@barstoolsports.com and I'll let him know and you can figure it out there. Shiny head, all kinds of stuff. So I'm going through it right now. I'm feeling cranky. I'm feeling disrespected. A lot like a lot of the veterans that are in our active duty folks that are still in the barracks. We're going to get into that in a minute. But today's show is going to be brought to you by our good friends at Simply Safe. There's never a wrong time to protect your family, but this fall happens to be an especially good time because you can get up to 50% off a brand new Simply Safe home security system. It was named the best home security of 2023 by U.S. News and World Report. Simply Safe is a comprehensive protection for the whole home with advanced sensors that detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. Plus HD camera for both inside and out. It's powered by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day, half the cost of a traditional home security. With the new 24/7 live guard protection and the smart alarm wireless indoor camera, monitoring agents can see and speak to intruders, helping stop crime in real time. A powerful technology exclusively from Simply Safe. Like you guys know, I just moved up here. Everything in my neighborhood is nice. Like I have a nice neighborhood, but that doesn't mean there's not some riffraff around. The flood protection would have done me really well when I first moved in. 2 days or 8 days after I closed, 8 days after I closed and 2 days before I took possession of the house, my entire basement flooded. Not great. Again, Cons moved up here for nicer shit. And I got into it. It was bad. I had flood. I didn't have my Simply Safe system hooked up. If I would have, that would have not happened. You got satisfaction is backed by Simply Safe's money back guarantee. Try Simply Safe for 60 days. Whoa, 60 days, risk-free trial. If you don't love it, return the whole system for a full refund. For a limited time, listeners can get a special 50% off any Simply Safe system with a Fast Protect plan. Visit simplysafe.com/ZBT. That's simplysafe.com/ZBT. There's no safe like Simply Safe. So you sent this over to me earlier, Cons, and I think there's something to this because it's Veterans Day. This is our Veterans Day show. And as everybody knows, we love veterans. We love active duty. Well, we are some. That's the reason why we have this show. Even if we don't have a studio, we have this show. And we love talking about them. But there's been some thematic things that are happening and have happened forever, right, Cons?
Yeah. Which topic are you talking about here? Because I actually have no idea. You didn't send over a sheet, so I'm just guessing.
Oh, yeah, I didn't send over a sheet. That's on me. No producer, no sheet. Buckle up, bitches. We're about to have a show. So there's a guy who said he was on barracks duty, and he said, is it inappropriate to say, I just kind of don't care anymore? I'm burned out from the countless menial garrison taskings, useless PT where I'm just hurting myself, but I keep my mouth shut about it. The barracks I'm forced to live in, where two soldiers are stuffed in a tiny room designed for one, and the meals, quote unquote, taking $450 out of my pocket that I can't opt out of. Refer to the other two posts on my page. But the most rewarding things are my soldiers, without a doubt. I owe them excellence, and I take a Red Bull, and now I'm falling asleep. So as a commander, like if you're a company commander, Cons, and you are seeing, and I think company commanders and XOs and battalion XOs need to be on the our Army, our Marines, our Air Force, so you can see legit stuff. You can have command climate surveys all you want. But people know that might come back to you. Reddit ain't coming back. So right. If you were a company commander and you saw that gripe, how do you respond to that?
You make a really great point about the Reddit, first of all, because it's totally anonymous. You don't need to identify yourself with those command climate surveys. There's always that little part of you that thinks like, I know they say it's anonymous, but is it really anonymous? And people have to worry about that. So I think it is important if you're in a command just to get the pulse, because guess what? Even if something isn't necessarily happening where you're stationed, it could happen. So I think it's good to understand the landscape of what's going on. Now, to his point, it's a challenge, man, because think about it like from a sports analogy. Think about if all you ever did was practice and you never had any games, you never played in a game. Practice is, you know, for as enjoyable as practice can be, it can get a little monotonous. And I think with the military too, you might get in a situation where you're like, wait a second, we're not involved in any direct conflicts. That's not to say that we won't be in the next year, 2 years, 5 years, who knows. I mean, something could pop off and then give you something to do. But, it is a challenge to keep your people engaged when you take a step back and you're like, wait, what are we training for? What are we practicing all this for if there's no war on the horizon? Now, good. Granted, not having a war on the horizon, that's a good thing. Not deploying at the same rate, the same clip that we did for the last 20 years. It's probably
a good thing. I feel like we're ignoring a big situation when we're saying that. We very well could be at war at any given moment.
Absolutely. But so what I think you need to do as a commander is really engage your soldiers, engage your NCOs to ask and understand, you know, what is going to make you feel like what we're doing is worth it. Now, am I insinuating that you need to listen and try to acquiesce to every last gripe? No, because no matter what, there's always going to be complaints. I mean, that's true of any organization, and it's especially true of the military. So you're never going to make it perfect. But I think now more than ever, as a commander, you need to be present. You know, you don't need to just show up at formation, you know, do a salute and then retire to your office. You got to be out there with your men and your women to understand what they're going through and engage them now more than ever. I think that's so important.
Yeah, I agree, because I think that the football analogy is great, because there's been forever in the military with military leadership this prevailing idea that it was difficult for me to live in the barracks, so it should be difficult for you.
Yeah.
And further on in that same Reddit post, here's a response. He says that $450 a month. Yeah, it sucks, but the alternative is paying for your own food, which costs more than $450 for most people. That is a good point. Like, it does cost way more. It's not all sunshine and rainbows over here. Granted, the DFAC isn't the greatest tasting food, but the best shape I've ever been in was when my diet was more or less controlled and limited to what the DFAC offered. I could see that. That's a good point. But there's also hours and things like that that has to be perfect in order for you to let people have that. Otherwise, they're getting boxed nasties and field rats, which are terrible, and nobody wants that, and you're still paying for it.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. So you can choose what's right for each of you. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Quiets their snores? Sleep Number does that. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards, only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
He goes on to say, your barracks situation, it just sucks. Top that into the quality of the barracks, and I can't and won't try to convince you it doesn't suck. I will say, however, replacing with the roommate with a wife can go either way. I kind of miss living with the boys. Get a divorce, bro. if you would rather live in a barracks room than with your spouse, who you presumably have sex with, buddy.
That is the marriage for you.
get up out of here. You should stay in the barracks because your wife might be miserable. That's just awful. Another one. He says, ultimately getting promoted to staff sergeant isn't that hard and is 100% in your hands. Time and service and time and grade requirements aren't long, and everything else to get promoted is based on your ability to recognize early and execute. If you're hurting yourself in PT, look around the formation. Is everyone else getting hurt? If not, it might not be the PT. It may be you. I can see that too. It may be that you aren't getting the care you need, whether by choice or something else. Burnout is real. Only you could tell when you're burning out, and only you could do something about it. Take some leave, reset, and come back recovered. I think a lot of that stuff is good points in a perfect world. That's not reality for most people. Like, you don't have the ability to choose the promotion stuff. You could do everything you want to. I read another soldier's complaint that he was talking about whenever he enlisted. Because right now they have to give you all kinds of different, including the Army. Like, the Army just dropped on a bunch of different folks that they were going to have to do recruiting orders without letting them know. They had six days notice that they were going to be on recruiting orders. And the way that they did that was saying, if you're a sergeant and you're successfully graduating the school, then you'll be a staff sergeant. If you're a staff sergeant and you last 90 days and bring in a certain amount of recruits to the Army, then you're going to get promoted to sergeant first class. That's a huge incentive. Same way when people are coming into the military. If, like, for me, for example, I had gone to college, I was contract PFC. So basically, after the time that I was done with Marine combat training, I was going to be an E3. That promotion, whenever you're super junior, is so important. Like, just going from a PFC for me, an E2 to E3, felt like a big, big promotion, because at E3, people don't know how long you've been in. E2, they have a pretty good idea, and you're going to get treated like a boot. So the difference is not just money. It's the way that you're treated. It's the way that you've been around. They don't know how long you've been around. So I feel like having veterans, because this guy that commented was a veteran, I feel like that's the perfect example of what not to be, right? I think that we have to encourage people to do better for the soldiers, like the congressmen, the leadership. You have to hold them account, because there is no reason for you to live in a moldy barracks. There's no reason for these people, when we even need them more, maybe not more, but you need them still, to come in, right? I mean, am I off base?
No, you're completely on base. No pun intended there. You're completely on base. And I think that's what we're seeing, you know, from leadership, is they're trying to improve certain things, you know, specific to the barracks. I know the Army is pushing really hard. And obviously this will take time to renovate and to modernize things, but they're trying to duplicate what it would be like to live in a dorm room setting in a college, where you have you know, maybe a food hall that's in the dorm rooms.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequilacation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
You don't have to go somewhere else on post, where you have common areas with, you know, pool tables, TVs, places to congregate within the barracks. So it becomes less of just like, hey, this is the moldy box I live in, and more like, this is my home, where I get to see my buddies from other units. And I think, you know, we really need to continue to do that and to invest and look for ways that we can improve and keep that morale high, because I think if you work on that morale, then when you're just practicing all the time, you're going to the field all the time, it doesn't feel as monotonous. You don't feel like you just can't wait to get out, and it feels like you're still preparing accordingly, but also you're improving on your quality of life. And I think it's important to have that balance. And we've said so many times, the old trope, well, it sucked for me, so it should suck for you. That is just not the way to approach. And I think by and large, leadership across the Department of Defense is trying to improve upon that.
Yeah. And I would say, going back to football, if you look at some of the most successful college football teams of the last 20 years, Alabama, Like, they are known to be hard hitters. They're going to come at you. Their cornerbacks are great tacklers. Their safeties are coming. You're going to get it. Like, if they're coming across LSU the same way, any of those big SEC schools that are constantly good, they are rough and tumble. They practice, and then you know where they go? The nicest facilities in college football. The University of Alabama has barber shops in their locker room where the players could get they can get a haircut. LSU has all kinds of gaming systems.
I was just there.
It's unreal, right?
I toured the operations facility where their locker room is. They took their locker room and they made it such that every person, it's no different than if you were sitting in one of those first class pods on an airplane where the chair folds down into a bed. So if you need to get a little extra sleep and it's just a more comfortable environment, it makes it to where you want to spend time at that facility because of all the extras that you have. And that's what I think we need to do for our military too, is it's, you know, to the extent that we can, it's expensive to do these things. But certainly we know we have the budget. So it's just a matter of committing the time and the money. But we need to make this environment an enjoyable one to detract from the aspects of the military that are just a little tougher. And I'm not trying to make it so where it become like this soft institution. It's still going to be a tough, difficult job, but that doesn't mean that you can't make other aspects of it comfortable.
And have your field ops still be hard. Like, it make those as difficult as you possibly can, because you do need real life training and you're going to have to live in a terrible situation. But needing to be able to do that and having to do it at all times are drastically different. I think we need to have the capability to be hard, to not care about our surroundings, to be able to sleep on the side of the road that might have IEDs on it when you're sleeping beside a Humvee. All of those things are very important to have a lethal military. But you don't have to do it at all times. Like, if you're if you're sitting on base and it's your normal job and you're just doing day-to-day stuff, why shouldn't you be able to go back to a nice place? All these first sergeants, all these E9s, all these O4s and above, they're going to be in super nice places on the barracks. The junior folks deserve that too, because you might have more people stick around if you don't treat them like absolute garbage, man. And I feel like the role of the veteran here is to advocate. Like, there has to be advocating. We advocate for veterans, like the Major Richard Starr Act, the PACT Act, and all that stuff. And it's great. But we also need to advocate for the active duty troops as veterans and not perpetuate this idea that you're going to be soft if you don't have mold in your barracks. I just think it's absolutely absurd. Today's show is also brought to you by our good friends at BetterHelp. ZeroBlog 30 is sponsored by BetterHelp. This time of year, it could be a lot, especially if you're living in the barracks. It could be natural to feel some sadness or anxiety about it, especially if you're living in the barracks. But adding something new and positive to your life can counteract some of those feelings. Therapy can be a bright spot amongst all the stress and change, something to look forward to make you feel grounded and to give you the tools managed everything going on. I mean, coping skills is one thing that my therapist constantly talks to me about. And you have a lot of it, right? Like, you have the stress of a new baby, 3 months old. You're moving into a new house. You're doing all those different things that are new, and life can really get difficult and you could feel overwhelmed. I mean, you've bought a house before, Cons, but buying one after you haven't bought one in 10 years, stressful, right?
Very, very. I mean, Jesus. It's been more than, dude, my first house I bought in 2007.
Yeah,
so 16 years. Yeah.
It's been as long as I've had diarrhea. Yeah.
Exactly. So you get it. You get the struggle.
I do. So if you're like Cons and you're going through it right now, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited for your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional cost. Find your bright spot this season with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/zero today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/zero. All right, next up, I want to go back to our office because Khan's been crushing drives, been crushing it. Like this new simulator, I don't know if the people have played on something like this. We got the newest state of the art, $150,000 this simulator cost, which is pretty outrageous. But on it, it tells you everything that you could possibly want to know. It tells you how fast your ball moves, how fast your club head moves, how fast the spin rate is, how far your carry, how far it rolls, all those different types of things. You could play any course you want to, except for Augusta. You could play like Bethpage.
Wait, really? I've seen plenty of, you know, the cool thing about, yeah, the simulator, you can play any course in the world, but Augusta won't license their course.
No, dude, they don't license anything. Like, wow, they think they're too good for everybody. Yeah, it's the only event that says the live guys can't come. Like, they don't want them there still. Mm-hmm. But you can play all day long and play on the best one. Bethpage Black, man, you don't have hardly any fairway to work with at all.
No. Like,
there's nothing. No. It was really tough. But Cons this morning, because we were talking about golf basically all day yesterday. So Cons this morning was talking about how Tiger Woods basically BZOs his golf swing, right?
Yeah, so there was a video a while back about Tiger Woods was talking to Scottie Scheffler about how when he was really playing well, he wasn't taking divots. And if you're not like a overly big golf fan, like the idea that you wouldn't take divots is kind of odd, but it's Tiger Woods. So you're like, oh, well, okay, he's just different. And then he got questioned about it again, and he went into more detail, and he started talking about how when he was like right in his prime, he was so zeroed. And that was the term he used. He said, I was so zeroed. That I wasn't taking divots. And I was listening to the Foreplay guys talk about it, and they're like, we have no idea what he means by that. And it clicked right away. It's like, wait a second. Tiger has this like fascination with the special operations community. His father was a Green Beret in Vietnam. So there's probably some, you know, tie in that regard that he grew up around these men. But Tiger always kind of, and even those in the Barstool world will remember the video with Trent, where Tiger asked Trent where they were stationed, which is not a normal thing to ask a civilian at all.
And it just broke Trent's brain.
Yeah, he had no idea what he was talking about. But it was just funny because it got me thinking, is it weird that essentially Tiger like cosplays as like a veteran, even though he didn't serve a day in his life? And we see this, you know, across the landscape now with these people who kind of go to these boot camps that are supposed to simulate schools in the military. And, you know, more power to you if you want to do things to challenge yourself. I think that's awesome. But I was just kind of curious what you thought about Tiger talking about his golf swing getting zeroed, like he was taking a brand new rifle and zeroing out his scope before he goes into combat.
Yeah, you know, I feel like it makes total sense. And I think that the divot part makes sense, because even if you are taking just a little bit of divot, there's no way that Scottie Scheffler or whoever, every other golfer in the world, knows how deep you're going every single time, like what the size of the divot, how deep you're going into the ground. But you know if you're brushing it. And you could see on Tiger's stroke where the grass was just brushed every time. And to me, that is almost like having your rifle in like a climate controlled spot where you could just shoot over and over again from the same platform to see where your BZO is going to be. So you know what straight is. I could see it totally working and making sense, right?
It makes complete sense. But I'm just curious what you're thinking about him using that terminology, because that terminology, I think, you know, maybe outside of the hunting world, it's almost exclusively specific to the military. So what do you think about him using the military terminology in his everyday civilian life?
I kind of love it because he used it correctly. Like if
he
was talking about, I'm getting zeroed in and he's spraying shots all over the place. And I legit think that because a 7.62 caliber, very small, a 5.56 caliber, very small in relation to a golf ball size. So if you're trying to get three shots from 150 yards or 100 yards, and you're trying to get it all inside the size of a silver dollar for a tight grouping, you want to within the size of a silver dollar from that distance. If you extrapolate that out to the same size of the golf ball, that's probably like 5 yards. And I would say that Tiger wants to be able to hit every single club within 5 yards of what he thinks he's going to pull, given perfect conditions. Yeah, he's going to have to look at what the wind is, what the rain is. But I can see wanting to legit use a three-shot grouping to get there.
Yes. Yes. You want to have every single one of your clubs zeroed. So maybe this is a new thing. Maybe now the rest of the players on the PGA Tour are going to pick up this tactic and be like, you know what? Got to get my club zeroed. And they're going to start, you know, reaching out. And maybe this is another crossover for veterans to start helping the professional golfers of this world and helping them get zeroed with their quote-unquote weapons, their irons.
You know what? I'm going to do that on our simulator. I'm going to have people see who could BZO the fastest. You get as many shots as you want to, and you go up on the leaderboard based on time. If you get three shots in a row within 5 yards of each other, you BZO your golf swing.
Yeah.
I think that'd be that's a difficult challenge, too.
I think it's very difficult because, like, you look at professional golfers, and they're very, very capable, but even they sometimes will spray shots. So to do it completely accurately, I think would be a very big challenge.
Oh, big time, especially if you don't have a Zen in your lip. You guys know we're all about keeping it real. So let's talk about something making a real change for vets and active duty right now. We got Zen nicotine pouches. If you're looking for a new way to enjoy nicotine, America's number one nicotine pouch comes in 10 varieties like wintergreen, spearmint, coffee, 2 strengths, 3 milligrams to kick off your experience, and 6 milligrams to take it up a notch. Zen is smoke-free, spit-free, hands-free, giving you the more freedom to move. Plus, it comes as is. There's no batteries or device needed to get your Zen on, which is one less thing to worry about on your next trip to the PX. Look, when it comes to making a change, we know progress is more important than perfection. Zen knows it too, because everyone's on a different path, including the cart path. If you're curious about what a premium nicotine experience looks like, head to your local convenience store, PX, or Zen.com to find out. Warning, this product contains nicotine, and nicotine is an addictive chemical. Another thing that you wanted to talk about with Barracks Life is, and I think it's a good point, especially around this time, do you feel like the Barracks Life stunts people as far as their maturity goes? What do you think?
Yes. Short answer, yes. But I think it goes beyond just the I think it's the military in general, because, you know, even people in leadership positions, essentially, we're all just taking orders. You're being told where to be, what to wear, when to be there, what to do. You're removing, for the most part, especially the lower down the chain of command that you go, you're removing any thought, any independent thought, any decision making. You're essentially just a robot. So I think and you see it too, because I think when guys and girls get out of the military and you see how they transition and the difficulty that some people have making that transition, whether that's finding work, whether that's, you know, incorporating themselves into a new community, they're not prepared to do that because you spend 3 to 20 years. And obviously it's worse the longer you stay, by and large. It's a recipe that you're not being set up for success. And I think the barracks is probably the best example. So the idea that, you know, you're going to be able to take care of an entire house or even an apartment or condo by yourself is a tall task, because outside of maybe keeping your room clean in a barracks, everybody else, they have cleaning crews and things of that nature, I'd imagine, for the large scale cleaning. I never lived in the barracks. Well, that's not true. I did live in barracks for some schools and things of that nature, but never for an extended period of time. So I don't know. I think by and
large, at West Point,
doesn't set you up. Oh, yeah, true. Well, I mean, that's
West Point's basically.
It is a barracks, basically, but it's also kind of like a college dorm. In a way, but it is a barracks.
So you guys had room inspections and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, but I was, yeah. And I guess, yeah, we were responsible for like the common areas, like the bathrooms and things of that nature. But I think it is a challenge for people when they get out of the military, whether that's housing or just making decisions in life in general. I do think the military stunts your growth in that regard. Do you agree?
I think that it helps and hurts in some ways. Like I don't feel like I'm the man that I am without the military. And a lot of that is maturity, learning how to deal with other folks that are younger than you or less experienced and learning how to deal with those that are senior to you. I think that's beneficial no matter what job that you're going into. The thing that I think is not is nobody in the military has any idea what it's like to get out of the military and then go on, except for those folks that come back in. But those are really sparse. And I talked about that when I interviewed the Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps. Like, he was talking about temps and taps and how that needs to be better for everybody and what he wants to do with it. And I told him, I was like, with all due respect, Sergeant Major, you've never gotten out, so you don't know.
Right, right.
And yeah, I mean, even the commandant, whoever, chief of staff, none of them. And they try to prepare you. Like, you have these senior staff NCOs or these senior officers that are trying to tell you what to do when you get out, how to use your VA benefits, and they don't have the first clue on how to do it. And the Sergeant Major was honest, and he was like, yeah, I just went through temps and taps, and I'm not sure when I get out, like, what I'm going to, how it's going to be. Like, do I need to be on LinkedIn? Do I do that? And people in his position basically walk out of the military with a choice of job. Like, he comes in and is like, I want to be the CEO or the COO of an operation. You know, he's done large scale stuff, or she's done large scale of stuff for their whole lives, their whole adult lives. Then what? I don't know. But I think a lot of it is problem solving. And the benefit of getting out earlier is learning how to problem solve in the world.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Like, my older kid, I think, is on a good path as far as that goes. Like, I decided, based on how my life was, I moved out at 18 years old and started to really do things on my own. Like, there was some help from my parents, but largely decisions day to day, I made those decisions for myself. And I feel like that helped me grow up a lot. And we had an incident just yesterday with my older kid, and I'm making her do everything. And when I say everything, I mean everything. Like, she's got to book her own appointments at the doctor now. She has to know how to use her insurance to go places. She's going to the DMV by herself. She's setting up her own cell phone. She's paying her car bill or her insurance herself. Mm-hmm. Like, there's got to be something that helps. And yesterday, she went too far with it because she didn't know. So she goes to this bad part of town. She makes her appointment and makes it in a bad part of town. Uh-oh. And then her cell phone dies. And then she doesn't have the money to get out of. They didn't take credit cards at the parking garage. She didn't know that. All they took was cash. So she's like walking around this terrible area trying to find an ATM because I looked at her app, I looked at, like, at night where she's going to be at, like, tracking her phone, coming down one of the most dangerous roads in Chicago. So I call her and I was like, Kels, what in the fuck are you doing on this road at this time? And she was like, I'll explain it to you whenever I get home, Dad. I need to get off the phone. And I was like, all right, because she had gone to certain areas before. She gets home, she's like very upset. And she tells me everything that happened, all those little steps. And I'm like, where did you make your biggest mistake? And she was like, probably not looking where my appointment was going to be. And I was like, yeah, but you're new to Chicago. You might not know that. That's more difficult to figure out where you're going to be. And I said, there has to be a point in your mind where you know it's not just necessarily about not calling my dad because I want to figure this out. There needs to be a realization that you do need help. Like, you can't do everything on your own.
Right.
But learning when to ask for help and when to not, I think that comes in spades from the military. It's operating without inside commander's intent with little to no supervision. And that's, I told her it last night. I was like, that's what I want you to do. You've been with me your entire life. You know how I feel about things. I want you to operate underneath my intent for you with little to no supervision, but that doesn't mean no supervision.
Yeah.
That makes sense from like a parenting perspective.
Yeah, I'm a little bit of a different stage in parenting, considering my daughter is 4 months old. That does make a lot of sense. And I also get it from her perspective too, because she probably wants to prove she doesn't need you and she can do it on her own and figure things out, and that's great. But also, there's.
I told her I was proud of that aspect.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with getting a little help though, and then maybe getting a little extra information. I would agree with you. I think you do gain that in the military. All right, what's the overall objective here? And although I don't have very clear instructions on maybe what my parameters are or what my left and right limits are, I do know the mission I need to accomplish and how do I get there. So certainly I agree with you. I think there are certain aspects where we're set up for success. But I do think there are some aspects that you really need to ingrain in these people, hey, listen, you're going out on your own and there's not going to be anyone telling you where to go and what to do and what time to be there. And I think maybe we should, if we're not already, work on improving and just being brutally honest with people that's what the world's going to be like when you get out. You do have all these skills that you learned in the military that are transferable. But here's where the military did not necessarily set you up for success. Because I think that's an important thing to mention. And maybe, people are too proud to say this, but just because you were in the military, you're very much set up to be successful, but you don't have all the answers and it's okay. Nobody has all the answers. So realizing that there are certain areas that you might be lacking, I think is important to identify.
Yeah, because I think a lot of folks, especially those that are a little bit more senior and have been around the block and are in positions where they're in charge of a bunch of people, they come out of the military expecting people to be like, oh, they're a veteran. We need to give them a job. You're a veteran, and so is millions of other people that are in this country. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get the best job right away. And I think going back to the barracks conversation, one thing that doesn't allow you to be an adult, if you're in an apartment, whenever you're a young person and there's mold in, you're calling the supervisor and they're coming to fix
it. Or
you're going to a new spot. You don't have that ability in the barracks. You can't go and be like, you know what? Here's my 10-day notice or my 1-month notice that I'm going to be getting out of here. I'm going to go to a different barracks, one that doesn't have mold. You can't do that. You're stuck in a lot of different spots. And I think that hurts too. You got to figure out what to do and what not to do. I think it's a mix. I think you're stunted in certain ways and then you're far and above, because people that get out at 22, 23 and they go back to college or they go to college, you could tell the maturity difference that professors notice and all that. Oftentimes those students are way more mature as far as being disciplined, showing up on time, doing what they're supposed to do. And then there's other areas where they're stunted and they don't know certain things that maybe other folks that didn't go in, they do know. Yeah. So there's a lot to, I don't know if we have the answer for that, but we do have the answer for if you're hungry factor. I'm going to tell you a little story that's absolutely true. Nobody loves factor more than my wife. And I work in the office now, and I'm fortunate enough to work in a place that a lot of times we have catered food, different companies come.
Yeah.
Annalise still works at home. She doesn't get that. So she does get factor meals and she'll send me a text message. I'll put out some examples on our Instagram. She'll send me different text messages that'll be like, I'm eating roast beef. Suck it. I'm eating like a burrito bowl. Suck it. And it only took me 2 minutes instead of your little stuff and being gross. And she was like, and mine is actually healthy, unlike the fast food burger that you've ate like 5 times this week. And she's absolutely right. And I've already noticed with football season, I'm putting on a couple LBs, so maybe I should do it too. And then the holiday season is right around the corner. You gaining some LBs, Cons, up at the games?
Actually, you know what? Because of responsibilities as a parent, I've actually missed – no, I guess I've only missed one. I missed one home game.
First time in a long time.
Yeah. But there was one tailgate in September, one tailgate in October. So it was spread out. So I am avoiding that. But what I was going to say was for you, I think you need to be mindful being in the office now, 5 days a week, 4 days a week, however many days, the opportunity to graze and all the snacks and all the food that's always available. You got to have that discipline, man. You got to just stick to those factor meals because they're you know, low in calorie and highly delicious. You got to avoid all those snacks that I know are going to be there.
Yep, I was at Slim and Trim 195, and then since I've moved to Chicago, I'm back up to a little 204 action at my doctor's appointment.
Wow.
I told you guys about. Yeah, so we're doing a little 10-pound gain, and that's before the holidays. I need to figure something out, so maybe we'll order two sets of Factor meals because Factor is America's number one ready-to-eat meal delivery service. You can help you fuel up for a fast breakfast, a lunch, and dinner with chef-prepared, dietitian-approved, ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time, eat well, and stay on track with your healthy lifestyle with tackling all of your holiday to-dos. You're too busy with holiday plans to cook oftentimes, but want to make sure that you're eating well. With Factor, skip the extra trip to the grocery store and the chopping and prepping and cleaning up too while getting it together. Chef Donnie was down there, one of the guys that he went to France for the summer, and he could cook his ass off. And he's cooking for different people. This dude for lunch, he's been cooking for lunch and stuff too.
Every
day? When I got in the morning, he was doing prep at 8 o'clock in the morning for like a noon
thing. Wow.
Just cooking all damn day. Nobody wants to do that after you get off work all from being at work all day. These meals are fresh, never frozen, and ready in just 2 minutes. So all you have to do is heat them, enjoy, and they're calorie conscious for the big belly guys like I'm clearly on my way to being. Head to factormeals.com/blog50 and use the code blog50 to get 50% off. That's code blog50 at factormeals.com/blog50 to get 50% off. It seems like 50% might be too much. Like, how do you stay in business when it's 50% off? I don't get it. Use Block 50 to figure it out. It's going to be delicious, and it's ready in 2 minutes. All right, let's move on to some save rounds and alibis. You know what? I'm going to start first.
Okay.
I'm going to start first because I think both of ours are going to essentially be the same. I need to point it out. I was in such a good mood Saturday night that I texted Cons at halftime, and I was like, let's go, with like five or six O's on the let's go. And then I gassed him up about West Point. Mm. Am I right, Cons? It only took 7 years.
You did. I was kind of thinking maybe somebody stole your phone. That's how ridiculous it was.
He asked me if I was sloshed up, if I was a couple Chardonnays deep. So the floor is yours, my friend. West Point's had a rough year. Army's had a rough year on the field at times. But this game, it kind of saved the season a little bit, right?
1,000% did. I mean, you know, running a new offense this year, you know, we've definitely taken some lumps and, you know, maybe lost some games that we didn't think we might lose this year. But, you know, I think it just speaks to the culture around the program that we've developed that, no matter what, we're never going to quit. And then you get into a game like Air Force, and it's funny, man. And, you know, I mean, this isn't unique to Army and Air Force, Army, Navy. Like, rivalry games, you can kind of just throw everything out the window. It doesn't matter what everybody's record is and what has happened earlier in the season. Seriously, just throw it all out. I mean, the fact that we came in as an 18-point underdog was just absolutely preposterous. Like, even if we lost the game, it wasn't going to be by 18 points. So it was just really, really awesome to see these guys. And that was one of the things that Coach Monken talked about in the post-game press conference. It's like, you got a bunch of guys that ultimately are going to go be leading soldiers. And that's exactly the type of guy you want leading soldiers. Somebody who's tough, who's taken a lot of licks this season, but, you know, at no point packed it in and still came out to this game and said, we still have a lot to play for. Let's come out and play hard. And I think that's what you saw in this game. You saw a bunch of tough kids who were not willing to quit on the season despite what had happened. And they showed that on the field this past Saturday. And I just think they were tougher. And, you know, Air Force certainly has had a nice year. And they'll probably still win more games and go to a bowl and maybe win the bowl game too. But it was just a lot of fun to beat them, especially given
beat them soundly too.
The game was never close. The game was never close at any point. So a little smile there,
even for Khan still now. And I saw some Air Force folks, like Air Force grads, talking about, oh, it was a classic trap game. It was a letdown week. Bullshit, man. It's one of the three or two biggest games that you play. If you can't get up to play Army or Navy and you're at Air Force, you just can't get it up. You're impotent. There's no doubt about that they wanted to win that game. But Army, man, you have that extra motivation when you have that record that you don't want. And then you see your rival school, 8-0, ranked in the top 25. They're high-flying offense and all that stuff. And then you just come in and smack them in the mouth and ruin their season because it's ruined. They're not going like, even if they go, they're not going to get ranked again because they lost to a team with a poor record. So that's not going to happen. You know that maybe they could have gotten to a bigger bowl game in like a city like San Antonio, for example, a big military town. Maybe they bring you over. You have less of a chance to be in one of those big bowl games because you lost that game. And then Army, not only that, but Army has a chance if you beat Navy to really salvage your season and become the commander and get the CIC Cup again.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Yeah, that really just added to the Army-Navy game now with the CIC on the line and the ability to win that game. And I don't know if this has been announced or maybe I'm not supposed to announce it. I don't know, but the College Football Show will be there. We will be there. So it certainly adds – like that game by itself is always a great game, great weekend. But certainly when one of the teams has a chance to win the trophy, it adds to – the mystique around the game. So very much looking forward to that now. Whereas I know plenty of guys after this weekend who are like, all right, I'm coming Army Navy now, who weren't initially planning to go to the game. And because of the way the season had been going, and now that we have a chance to win it and the season has seemingly been turned around, means something a little bit more. So very much looking forward to it.
Especially with the College Football Show being right in Portnoy's backyard at Gillette.
Yeah.
I think that's going to make it a little bit better because he's going to feel at home too. So even if you can't get tickets, they're tough tickets to come by. You can't get it. You'll be able to come by the tailgate. You'll still be able to hang out with us. Maybe Kate will be well enough to go. I don't know. So Kate, update before we go. Kate said she's doing well. And if you've heard her talk about Cash before, Cash, not a great sleeper. He's not a fan of the sleeping. Opposite from military folks in that way, cannot fall asleep anywhere, doesn't fall asleep anywhere at all. But the new baby is doing really well, she said, and I've seen pictures of him laying on her and she looks happy. She says she's recovering from the pain after her C-section, and that she even said,
"Can I tell you something?"
I was shocked. Yeah.
Until we were going through pregnancy, something I did not realize about a C-section, maybe I said this before, but I thought for the longest time, because I never really gave it more thought, they just, they do the incision and then the baby's right there. Oh, no. This is a major surgery. For as many as are done every day, every year, they go in there, they take a bunch of organs out and then go in and get the baby, because it's not like the baby's at the top. I just assumed the baby was right there. No. This is a major surgery. And obviously medicine is such in this country that they've for lack of a better word, perfected it. So it's pretty routine, but at the same time, it's very invasive. It's very massive. So the fact that she did that, more power to her. So, I mean, and she was getting things from strangers online, like, oh, well, my wife did this and she's doing fine now. It's like, great, buddy. Happy for you. It's
keep
different
it
for
to
everybody.
Yourself,
maybe,
pal.
Maybe don't
unless,
talk to her about
unless
that.
You're a person that's had a C-section before. There's a certain time in your life that you just need to shut the fuck up, and that's one of them. You don't have any input, any experience in that whatsoever. Shockingly, Kate, I was talking to her yesterday. She told me, she was like, I'm feeling so good. I'm feeling so rested. I might come back to the show next week. And I was like, I don't think so. Like, there's, I feel like there's a certain responsibility that I have to Kate to be like, I'm just not going to send you the link, Kate. Me and Hans are going to do it ourselves.
Yeah.
So maybe she'll come back for like a Kate's corner again. We'll have her kicking off that to see what she's ill about. Have Katie sounding off. We can't wait to have her back, but it's not going to be next week.
No, not rushing that at all. At all. And then one other quick thing I had, it was funny that you mentioned your jump from E2 to E3. My jump from O2 to O3, it's unbelievable how differently you're treated.
Sergeant to staff sergeant was enormous.
Yes, because it's exactly for the reason you said. You don't know if I'm in year three or year like seven of my time. So it was unbelievable how differently you get treated. So that was interesting.
No doubt about it. Last thing for me. Moving up here, I was really excited to do different stuff with my family than I ever have. Annalise is in Denver this week she's got a real job, so she's doing like a conference. And I get to take Cardi to our big basketball tournament tomorrow. And I'm surprising them. Yeah.
Dude. So I went last year when it was in Philadelphia. It's awesome. It's so awesome. Yeah. I'm so excited that you're bringing them to the game. Cardi's going to love it. That's awesome.
And we got the tickets today. I got them a little, I mean, not that we would need it working at Barstool, but a little lanyard with VIP on it. So I'm not telling them. I haven't told them yet that we're going to the game. I'm going to tell them we're taking an Uber because we're going out to meet with my buddies. My buddy has an 11-year-old and they could talk during dinner. And I was like, and McCartney's going to hate that. They're going to be like, no, I don't want to do it. I'm like, I don't care. Get your butt in the car. We're going. So then we'll pull up and I'll be like, actually, we're going to a basketball tournament and they're going to freak, man. And I told Dan and Dave, I was like, I'm bringing my kid out on the court before they're going to do a little shoot around. I mean, if you're a kid and you see like college basketball players that are 6'5", 6'8", you don't know if they're the NBA or if they're in college and you don't care the difference at all. But being around that, and mom's college is there too, Mississippi State. So I think it's a perfect storm to be able to take my kid. And shout out to Barstool for letting me do that. Not a lot of companies.
Yeah. No, sure, it's bring your kid cool. It's going to be so cool because I remember, I don't know, maybe I was like 11 or 12, the first time I sat on the floor at an NBA game and you see how big those people are. Because on TV, you can't really gauge. But then, so when Cardi sees these college basketball players who are going to be massive, it's going to just blow them away. Yep. And then also too, there aren't really any places that you go at that age that are that big, right? So to be on the floor of an arena and then just to look around at everything, it's a very cool vantage point. So I'm excited for you guys to be experiencing that tomorrow. That's going to be a lot of fun.
They've never stepped foot on a wooden floor before. So their first time will be around about college athletes doing it. I mean, I think about if I would have got to do that when I was their age, I would have flipped out. So I can't wait to see their little face whenever it happens. I'll let you know about that next week. Me and Cons will be back. Kate will not. Unless she really talks me into it somehow and she really convinces me that she's doing well. But other than that, the week after that, we'll see you then. Sound the retreat.